Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
We're finally getting down to the heart of the matter, or maybe we should say the conclusion of the matter that we have been working toward in our text. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, which I told you when we started studying this text, that it is all about how to experience the love of God in a personal way in our lives. And yet we are just now getting to that particular aspect of what these two verses are saying. And here are the verses, 1 John chapter 4, verse 15. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. In these two verses, we have seen, first of all, the believer's confession. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, and we understood that with careful examination in the context, to mean whoever confesses the biblical truth about Jesus Christ. Not just simply anything about Christ, but what the Bible actually teaches about him. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God has this that is true about him, the believer's condition, namely that God abides in him and he in God. And then for those, this is also true in verse 16, there is great comfort. And we have known, we who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, we who have God abiding in us and we in him, we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. That's where we are headed on the broadcast today, Tuesday, November 6. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for helping us with the cost that is necessary to continue teaching God's Word on this station. The experience of God's love. And there are several things that are said in the last part of verse 16 that help us understand this personal experience of knowing the love of God, not in an academic way, not in a doctrinal way, in the theological sense of that term, not as a theological study, though that's important. And if you listen to this broadcast, you know that I believe that fervently. That's important. But to experience it at the personal level, to have that heartfelt assurance that God loves me. I am so glad that my Father in heaven tells of his Son in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest, that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. That's what this text is talking about. I remember hearing a man a number of years ago who was an outstanding theologian. Someone who studied deep theology, deep doctrine, someone who who knew the depths of Scripture like very few people that I have ever known, who said to me, the most important statement that I can make to you is found in the children's hymn, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, for the Bible Tells Me So. That's what we're talking about. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Let's break this down. This text tells us that God is love. Now, we've already learned that in this same chapter. Verse 8 says, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. The same statement about God, that God is love, is used there in a different context to teach a different truth. There, it is used to say, if a person doesn't love, evidently he doesn't know God because God is love. It's his very nature. And so how can you know God, to know him in saving faith, to know him in salvation, to know him in a personal relationship, how can you know the God who is love and have no love in your heart toward others? But that was the first statement, that God is love. Now we have it again. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. The second time that this statement has been made. Now, I doubt that there's anybody listening to the Beacon broadcast who doubts that statement. That is probably the best known truth about God in all the world. It is so emphasized, and I would have to say so overly emphasized, that many people know virtually nothing else about God except the fact that he is love. And that overemphasis sometimes causes people who are more theologically astute to shy away from it because it is overused and abused to the extent that the imbalance almost makes it not true. And it's not that it's not true, but if that's the only thing you believe about God, is if God is love and therefore he could not send anybody to hell, God is love and therefore he could not execute divine wrath or carry out divine justice. If you believe that God is love, therefore God is not holy and so forth, then of course that truth has become an error. But the fact that it is misused, abused, misunderstood, and overemphasized, out of balance by some people, doesn't mean that it's not true, and it certainly is no excuse for God's people to ignore it or deny it, and nobody would deny it openly, but we can do the same thing that others do. We can ignore it to the extent that we become imbalanced. This is true. It's not the only truth about God, but it is a wonderful truth about God, and one that we should revel in. And here we have it. God is love. Now, what's the next statement we need to look at? We learn here that he who abides in love. There's something said about that. Let me go back to it. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. He who abides in love. What this is saying is, if God is love, and it just said that he is, abiding in God is abiding in love. You follow me? God is love. Therefore, abiding in God means abiding in love. He who abides in God abides in the love of God. He who abides in God abides in who God is, the character of God. He who abides in God abides in love. And the history of Christ is the history of Christ's love to us. And the doctrines of our revealed faith are the many articles revealing the divine love of God to us. And assurance is to know and trust in God's love. And comfort is that all God has given us in love is ours forever. It's a wonderful comfort. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace. We'll take those three in that order. Love, joy, peace. We come to understand and believe in God's love to us. And what does that bring? That brings great joy to us. And what does that bring? That brings great peace to our souls. It is a comfort to us to know the love of God and to experience the love of God. And that's what enables and energizes our love to others. How can we love others as we ought if we doubt God's love for us? It's the same problem that a person has who lacks assurance of salvation. How can someone who lacks assurance of salvation get terribly motivated to talk to others about their need of salvation? If I don't know that I have been saved by the grace of God, then I'm not very likely to talk to others about their need of salvation by the same grace of God. But if I know that I have been plucked out of the fire, I have been rescued from condemnation, I have been changed by the power of God because of His wonderful grace, that I have come to salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in who He is and what He did upon the cross, and if I believe that anyone and everyone else who believes the same thing that I have come to believe will have the same salvation that I have come to possess, then I will gladly go forth and tell others about this great salvation that is found in Jesus Christ. But if I don't know that I possess it, then I'm not going to be a very good ambassador of it. And likewise, when it comes to the love of God and to our expressing the love of God to others. So much of this whole section is about how we are to love others with the same love wherewith God has loved us. But if we are not assured of God's love, if we don't know God's love, if we don't have the experience of assurance and comfort of God's love in our soul, then how well are we going to manifest that love to others? It is this knowledge, this assurance, this comfort of God's love to me that enables and energizes my love to others. More love to thee, O Christ, more love to thee. That should be our desire. That should be our song. And when we experience the love of God, and when we reflect the love of God back to Him first of all, then we will also be able to reflect that love of God to those around us. How is it possible to love the unlovely the same way God loved me, knowing as I do that I am unlovely? How is it possible for me to exercise sacrificial love toward those who I don't particularly find attractive by knowing that God exercised sacrificial love toward me in giving me His Son and making me His child? These are wonderful truths. We'll talk about them, Lord willing, again tomorrow. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.